Okay, this chart basically shows, like we say, the relationship between the 70th week of Daniel and Israel's full feast. You know, we've been considering for about the last couple weeks now pretty much the interval between the spring feasts, which were the Messiah's first coming, and the fall feasts, right? The second coming of the Messiah. And we did that so that we could kind of understand and get clarity on the, first of all, the fact that, you know, the biggest gap that is between these two seasons of Israel's festivals is, of course, the dispensation of grace, right? Which we've seen, and we looked at that in, about a couple weeks ago, a 2,000-year gap that's actually hinted at in the prophetic word, and we saw that. And then we looked at last week, which may have been kind of confusing, I guess, but anyway, we looked at last week the interval between the rapture and the opening of the trib, right? And we looked at, and we saw particularly in Daniel chapter 11, verses 5 through 20, that there's going to be a series of kings that arise, ultimately which will produce the Antichrist, right? And that would require, from a few verses in that section, it would be a period of years, okay? What we want to consider today, and next week as well, is the actual 70th week, how it's laid out, and its relationship, like we say, to the fall feast. If you look at the chart here, you see that there's three time frames that basically are in the book of Daniel. You have basically the 1,335 days, which pretty much extends from the beginning of the midpoint of the trib to the end of to the actual setting up of the kingdom. Okay, that span of time there, and then that 1,335 days is broken up into two parts: 1,290 days and 45 days, okay? 1,290 days is another time frame that Daniel brings out in the last chapter of his book. And as we're going to see when we look at the verses, it actually is consisting of two parts: the 30-day midpoint of the trib and the last part of the trib, 1,260 days. And then in your 45-day period after the close of the trib, you have that span of time is broken up again into three parts. There's a period called Teshuvah, which in Judaism, every year, the fall feast, the fall festival season starts with the sixth month. And there's a 30-day period called the season of repentance. And then in the actual seventh month, which the fall feasts occur, you have a period of 10 days, where basically the first day is Rosh Hashanah, the 10th day is Yom Kippur, and then finally the 15th day of that month is Tabernacles. And so Rosh Hashanah being, which will ultimately be fulfilled at the Second Coming, then you have Yom Kippur, which is the Atonement, the New Covenant, and then the setting up of the kingdom with the Tabernacles at the very end. Okay? So that's kind of the schedule that Daniel lays out, and we're going to get confirmation of this as we look through particularly his last chapter in chapter 12 to get that. Let's start at the left side of the chart here and look at the first half of the trib. We know that again, like we said, opens up with Israel's covenant with the Antichrist, right? Take a look at, there's a very sobering passage in the book of Isaiah. Take a look, and we'll just be following the scriptures along on this chart, so you can just take a look at that. Look at Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28. Let's start in verse 15. Somebody want to read Isaiah 28, verse 15?
Because he has said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves.
That's a pretty sobering account of what Israel is going to be facing yet in the future. it kind of brings back to mind what the Lord told them when he was on the earth. He says, I come in my Father's name, you receive me not. There will come one in his own name, him you will receive, and this is the one that they're receiving here. Now look at verse 18. Same chapter. Isaiah 28, verse 18.
And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand, and your opponent's force shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it.
Right. And so basically, what you have there
is, what you have basically there is the fact that that covenant is going to be disannulled. And how does it get disannulled? Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. What happens in the middle of the week? Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. So the Antichrist is going to break that covenant in the middle of the week. He's going to do it by taking away the daily sacrifice, right? And he's going to set up this abomination of desolation. Turn to Daniel chapter 12. Let's take a look at verse 11 and see the time frame, time schedule concerning how that fits in. What you have in verse 11, there's a starting point from when those days get counted, but you don't really see an end point there, right? That's because that end point is mentioned up about a few verses up in this chapter. Look at verses 6 and 7. And what does it say there? So the end point there is where the Antichrist, after his accomplishing of scattering the power of the holy people, shall be finished. This is basically the end of the trib, right? That's the end point. Okay? Now, if you go back to Daniel chapter 8...
Can I just ask one question?
Yes.
When do the daily sacrifices resume?
In the second part of the trib, but they'll be offering it to him. Basically, instead of to the Lord. Okay.
Well, whenever it says about causing it to cease.
That's right? The midpoint.
That's the midpoint.
Right.
So I was just wondering when they actually pick up the daily sacrifices again.
Yeah.
It's right after.
When he sets that after he sets that abomination of desolation up.
Oh, okay.
They will be offering at the hand. They'll be called. He'll actually be calling down fire from heaven. They'll be accepted.
Oh, okay.
And Israel.
So that's the first time they actually start the sacrifices again.
After they're terminated, correct. Now take a look at Daniel chapter 8 and look at verse 13. Here you have all three things mentioned. You have the two things about the taking away of the daily sacrifice, the setting up of the abomination of desolation. And you also have the sanctuary and the host that is trodden underfoot, right? That's the scattering of the power of the holy people, correct? So you have all three things. The first two things are mentioned in Daniel 12:11. The last thing is also mentioned in Daniel 12, verse 7, right? Where he had the last part about the Antichrist basically scattering the power of the holy people. So what you really have is 1260 days, and before that 1260 days, you have a 30-day period where the daily sacrifice is taken away and that abomination is set up, right? It's going to take about a month, okay? There's going to be a lot of things. And what we want to focus on now is at least five things that happen in the middle of that week, okay? You know, contrary to what a lot of people think that it's going to be just, you know, a one-day affair, it's not going to be a one-day affair. There's going to be a considerable amount of time where a lot of things are going to be happening kind of parallel to each other. And it's going to take about, it's going to take that 30-day period, and that's why Daniel mentions the 1,290 days, okay? You have that 30-day midpoint before the Antichrist is reigning in power, and he has a 30-day thing where he basically takes the daily sacrifice away, sets that abomination and desolation up, and then Israel's going to have a few days to either accept it or reject it, and then, you know, and that's what we're going to look at right now in Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12 is a chapter that basically deals with a lot of things that happen at that midpoint period, okay? Come over to Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 9. What do you read? Somebody read Revelation 12, 7 through 9.
And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which destroyed the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him.
Okay, this is at the midpoint of the tribulation. Satan gets cast out of heaven to the earth, and while that's happening, someone else rises up out of the sea in Revelation 13, right? Verses 1 to 3. What do you read there?
And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power, and his seat and great authority.
Yeah, just verse 3.
And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast.
So you see, this beast, it says one of his heads was wounded unto death. This is the death wound, right, of the beast. And he basically rises up out of the sea, okay, and at the midpoint, there is the death and resurrection of the Antichrist, okay? You know, Satan is cast out, and in Revelation chapter 9, you have details of this beast ascending up out of the bottomless pit, okay? We're not going to go there, but you can read that chapter and just, you know, get the details of that. But the person who lets that beast out of the bottomless pit is Satan. He's given the key to the bottomless pit, and the Antichrist comes out, okay? Along with 200 million demons, okay? At that time, God's two witnesses, right? They're going to be two witnesses that are going to be prophesying for a period of 1,260 days. Take a look at Revelation chapter 11, one chapter before, and look at verses 7 through 12. Somebody read that. Revelation 11, verses 7 through 12. What does it say? Revelation chapter 11, verses 7 through 12. Who's got it?
And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, and where also the Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them. and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God shall enter into them. And they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon all them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them.
This is an interesting event here, isn't it? These two witnesses, they've been prophesying specifically for 1,260 days. That's that first half of the week, that 10 column on the chart there. You see that? Israel makes that treaty with hell. These 1,260 days of the first half of the trib, these witnesses are prophesying and encouraging their countrymen not to participate. Okay? And, you know, it's a very interesting thing what it says in verse 8 there, when it talks about describing that great city. Now, that great city is Jerusalem, because it's identified where the Lord was crucified, right? But he doesn't name that city by name, does he? He calls it and said, rather identifies it with Sodom and Egypt. Because at that point, Israel will have sunk to the lowest point. Okay? And remember last week we told you, when we looked at Revelation 17 and talked about the beast and the supporting that woman is that city, it's Jerusalem, who is now being associated with the name over there of Babylon. Okay? Because the Antichrist is going to do the worst that he's allowed to do with one particular event, right? Turn over to Matthew 24, verse 15. Matthew 24, verse 15. What's that event?
And he therefore shall see the abomination and desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place wherein we let him understand.
Right, the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, okay? Daniel spoke about it in a couple of different places. The most clear reference is Daniel 11, verse 31. Take a look at that for a minute. Daniel 11, verse 31.
Sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate.
Okay, so this is it. This is why Jerusalem is spoken of as spiritually as Sodom and of Egypt. This is why she's called the mystery. Her name is a mystery associated with Babylon. Babylon was the fountainhead of all idolatry, right? And Jerusalem is now identified with that. Because in the very heart of her worship is enshrined the Antichrist, right? I mean, that's the ultimate affront to the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Is this person in there enthroning himself as God himself, okay? So, it's the lowest and most sobering and probably the most, it's the lowest point that Israel would have sunk in all her history, okay? And so she is not even being dignified by even naming her that city there, okay? So it's a sobering thing to consider here. Now, let's take a look at another woman, also Israel, but represented differently in Revelation chapter 12. Look at verse 1. Well, is there something else going to be happening at that time? What does John see in verse 1?
There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars.
Okay. Now who do you think that is? Israel, right? That takes you back to Joseph's dream, doesn't it? Look at Genesis chapter 37, verses 9 through 11. What does that say? Genesis 37, verses 9 through 11.
The dream had another dream, and told it his brother, and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun, and the moon, and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to his father. He told it to his father and his brother, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brother indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth?"
Verse 11.
And his brother envied him, but his father observed the same.
See, even though his father rebuked him, but Jacob's a man that knows dreams, right? And he observed that dream. He kept that in his mind, okay? And the thing is, the 12 stars, obviously the 12 tribes, like we see here, right? And the sun and the moon, it's Jacob, of course, what was his name? Israel, right? So this is the woman here, and this is Israel, again pictured under that figure. Now, concerning this woman, look at verse 5. What does it say? Actually, look in verse 4. Talked about... actually, go back to verse 2. She being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered, right? She's you remember how we talked about the beginning of sorrows? Like the Lord spoke about in Matthew 24, right? And the beginning of sorrows, the word sorrows there was the word, it's actually birth pangs. Okay? And this is what we're reading about here, okay? Israel, that, you know, when a person, when a woman is, you know, gets closer and closer to the time of delivery, she gets bigger and bigger and bigger, right? And the pain and so forth intensifies. And down in verse 5, it says that she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And our child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Now some people, when they look at that and they read that in the man child, well, they immediately think about, well, it must be the Lord Jesus Christ, and, you know, it's ascension in heaven after his resurrection. But, you know, you have to stay with the prophecy. Okay, Revelation is all about the future, right? All these visions relate to Israel in that 70th week, in that future time. So we need to look elsewhere as to find out who this man-child is. Well, there is a reference in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 7. And look, and it's pretty much what you read here in Revelation 12:5. Isaiah 66, verse 7, what does it say? So this man-child gets delivered before the pain, or in other words, before this great tribulation that's about to break on. This is the midpoint, that, again, of the trib that we're looking at. Now, who is this man-child? Okay, it's caught up into heaven, right? Well, take a look at Revelation chapter 7 for a minute, first four verses. What do you have? Revelation chapter 7, verses 1 to 4. What do you read about?
After these things I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the winds should not blow on the earth, or the sea, or on any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads."
Verse 4.
And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed.
So before any of the judgments hit the earth, God marks 144,000, right, with his mark in their forehead, you know? It's not always bad to have a mark. You got to have the right one. Mark of God, right, rather than the mark of the beast. And they're kind of in contrast to each other here. Okay, but these people are on the earth, right, at this point? Yes? Okay? First half of the trib. Now, look, where are they in Revelation chapter 14? Look at verses 1 to 5. Revelation chapter 14, verses 1 to 5. Who wants to read that?
And I opened, lo, a lamb stood on the mount Sinai, and with him 144,000, having the Father's name written in their forehead. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harps harping with their harps. And they sung as if it were a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts, and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they were virgins. These are they which followed the Lamb whatsoever he goeth. These redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they were without fault before the throne of God.
So where are they now? Verse 5 says they're before the throne of God, right? Who was caught up to the throne of God in 12:5? The man-child, right? They're on the earth in the first half. In the midpoint, there's a mid-tribulation rapture of these 144,000. Okay? They just get caught up right into heaven. Okay? Before the terrible time happens on the earth in the second half. Okay? And they're said to be before that throne of God up there, right? So you compare the passages together, you can understand who he's talking about. All right? Come back to Revelation chapter 12. And you see, Israel, basically in the tribulation period, there's going to be about three different companies of the redeemed. The 144,000 of the first fruits, they get raptured right up into heaven at the midpoint right there, and they're before the throne of God for the rest of the week. Okay? Then there's another group of people that are on the earth in verse 6. Okay? Who are those? Look at Revelation 12, verse 6.
And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days.
This woman is going to be, that's Israel again, going to be fed by God for 1,260 days. That's the second half of the trib. Okay? Come down to verses 13 and 14. And you see some more confirmation of that. What does it say? Verses 13, 14, Revelation 12.
And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which was brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent.
So that's 3.5 years, the same span that I mentioned before, about 1,260 days, right? So this is a company of believers that's going to be sheltered, right, in the wilderness and be miraculously provided for. And not only be miraculously provided for, but in verses 15 and 16, she's going to be divinely protected. Look at verses 15 and 16 in Revelation 12.
And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away with the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth.
So that flood, you know, the Antichrist is going to be pursuing with his armies. There's going to be an earthquake, swallow him right up. Okay? Kind of just like with Pharaoh being swallowed up in the Red Sea. Okay? Lord's going to do exactly for Israel again what he did for them in Egypt. In fact, the feeding of Israel, okay, during that period of time, is spoken of in the prophets as being like it was in Egypt. Come over to Hosea chapter 2, verses 14 to 15. Hosea chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Hosea chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Somebody want to read that?
Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her vineyards from thence and from the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt.
See that? Just like when she came out of the land of Egypt, the Lord's going to do that very same thing for her again. Just like what we're reading in Revelation 12. And not only that, she's going to have a specific place to go to, okay, where she's going to be protected. Come over to Isaiah chapter 11. And, not Isaiah chapter 11, Daniel chapter 11. Verse 41. Daniel chapter, look at verses 40 and 41. I'll read that. Daniel 11, verses 40 and 41. At the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind. That's the Antichrist. With chariots, with horsemen, with many ships, he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. And he's going to pass over Israel there at that point. And he's going to say in verse 41, he shall enter into the glorious land. Many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand. In other words, he's not going to be able to get everybody. These are going to escape out of his hand. Who are they? Edom, Moab, and the chief of the children of Ammon. All these three peoples there. Edom is southern Jordan. Moab is central Jordan. And Ammon is northern Jordan. It's the whole country of Jordan, basically. It's right east of the Jordan River. Okay? And come over to Isaiah chapter 16 and see what the Lord does concerning those places. Isaiah 16, verse 4. Isaiah 16, verse 4. What do you read?
Let mine outcast dwell with thee, Moab. Be thou a covert to them from the face of the spoiler. For the extortioner is at an end. The spoiler ceaseth. The oppressors are consumed out of the land.
You see that? The reason why these people are able to escape out of the Antichrist is because the Lord is going to have that place for his people to go to. Okay? And he's going to protect them there. Okay? So, Israel is going to be definitely provided for, both in terms of nourishing and also protection. However, not every one of Israel is going to escape. Okay? Take a look at Revelation chapter 12 again. And look at verse 17. What do you read?
And the dragon was wroth with wind, and went to make war with the remnant of the king, which has the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ.
You see, going back to Matthew chapter 24, verse 21, that's on your chart there in the 1260 days of the last part of the trib, Israel is going to have the worst persecution that she's ever had in her history. We know that. Matthew 24, verse 21, what does it say? You know, you back up in the context there, verse 20 says, you know, take heed that your flight's not on the Sabbath, and you know, and so forth. What would then there were suck. Not everyone is going to be fortunate, it's going to be blessed enough to escape that, being able to flee to that place in the wilderness. There are some that are going to have to pay with their lives. Look at Revelation chapter 7, verses 13 to 14. And this is the other, this is the third company of the redeemed. Those that actually experience the wrath of the Antichrist. Revelation 7, verses 13 and 14. What does it say there?
One of the elders answered, saying unto me, there are these which are arrayed with white robes, and whence come they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, they are they which come out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.
Okay. They came out of great tribulation. Revelation chapter 12 again shows you what they had to go through in verses 10 and 11. Okay? How did they overcome the Antichrist? particularly verse 11. They overcame him three things. By the blood of the Lamb, we just read that in Revelation 7 again, and by the word of their testimony, and what's the last thing? They loved not their lives unto the death, right? They were martyred. Okay? So, those people are going to be the ones that ultimately are going to experience the ultimate pain, right? So you have basically, in this midpoint of the trib, a lot of things are going on, okay? The Antichrist is killed, he gets raised up, and it's like 3 days for that. The two witnesses get killed, they're lying in the streets for 3.5 days, they raise up, that's almost a week right there, right? Then there's, a woman fleeing into the wilderness, right? And, she's being chased, and there are others that are left behind. And there seems to be an indication in one of the letters to the seven churches that there's going to be a particular 10-day period, probably in that midpoint, where they're going to be given the choice, hey, either take that mark or meet your end. And that's in Revelation chapter 2. Verses 9 and 10, I believe. Yeah. Revelation chapter 2, verse 9 says, I know your works in tribulation and poverty. You are rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Verse 10, fear none of these things, where you shall suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. See that? There's a 10-day period. They're in that midpoint. Some of the people are not going to escape. They're going to be in that jail for 10 days. All right? What does he say? Be faithful unto death. I'll give you the crown of life. Right? A lot of things going on at that time. You know, when you look at the actual letters of those to the seven churches, they actually chronicle logically how the trib is going to fall out. You can actually, those Jews that are living in that time, they're going to be able to read the letter and know where they are in the trib. Because each letter designates a particular portion of the trib as it will sequentially follow out. Okay? You know, kind of like when you look at the last letter, you're talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's the end of the trib, right? Okay, well anyway, so that's it for today. Next week, we're going to take a look at the 45-day period after the end of the trib, and when we finally get to the fulfillment of the Feast of Trumpets, which is what we've been on for about the last 3 or 4 weeks, right? We'll see that next week in that 30-day window after the tribulation, okay? So, until then, it's Maranatha.